But we are in the last lesson of our Heart for the House series, and I thank you for those of you that have written me some just marvelous emails thanking us for this series. I thank God, it's His Word, and so on. For those of you that sent me all those bad emails, I just deleted them. I didn't read them. I'm kidding. It shows you something beautiful about this church. I haven't received one bad email, and that's unusual. So we are blessed here at McCord Road Christian Church. And but we've been talking about the house, and today we're looking at Matthew 28, 19, 18 through 20, and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. And in this series, we're looking at God's house and our place in God's house. And we believe strongly that a strong local church is the hope of the world. We talked about that in lesson one. Then we also know that we develop a heart for the things that we have respect for. And we're hoping that we're developing respect for the house of God in throughout this whole month. And that's what we really focused on in our second lesson. And then we've aligned our lives with the heart of God for His house. And that was really our focus of last week. And today we want to talk about the mission of His house, the mission of His house. What's the mission of God's house and the role that we play? And I made a statement in one of our earlier sermons regarding this, but today we want to drill down on it just a little bit, and that is this. Our big idea today is the church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. And if you're a note taker, in the center of your bulletin, there's an opportunity there to take some notes. But the church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. The mission is the focus. The church was the tool that God designed to fit the mission. He said, I want my gospel to go around the entire world. And so in order to do that, there has to be a mechanism by which the gospel is shared to the whole earth. And so my plan, my goal, my tool is going to be to create this thing I'm calling my church. And my church will spread the gospel throughout the world. It's a privilege to be a part of what God's doing in the world. And we're a part of that when we are a part of His church. The mission has a church. Several scriptures reference the church's mission. But probably the most frequently spoken of and most easily recognized would be Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The scripture reads this way. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, this was just after the resurrection of Jesus. He had lived a perfect life. He had died a sacrificial death on the cross. He had gone to the tomb for 3 days, and then He had risen again in victory over death, hell, and the grave. This is the moment that He is in. And now all the disciples are here, and He's speaking to them, and He is establishing the reality from this point forward. And He said, I want you to understand this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I am in authority from this point forward. And if you're in the heavens, and that word heavens, it's a word that indicates anything that's elevated off of the earth, anything that's above the earth, that's the heavens there. So all of that I have authority over, He says. And then He says, on the earth. And that literally means on the earth. If it's on the ground, He has authority over it. So He said, here, anything above the earth and anything that's on the earth, I have authority over it. Now, if you're under the earth, your mission has already been completed. But if you're above it or on it, then that means the words that I'm about to say to you, they refer to you. I have all authority. And so this morning we have three thoughts that we're going to dive into here. He says, go. So thought number one is this. The command to go is mission critical. It's mission critical. You cannot avoid the going. There must be a going. The command is go. And here's the problem with the go. In order to go, you must leave. You have to leave something in order to go somewhere. And that go is difficult because we're leaving what we already know. If I'm here, I know this place. I know this moment. I know this space. I know I'm comfortable in this environment. And now I have to go from this environment, into another situation, and I'm not as comfortable with what's going on over there as I am with what's going on over here because I know this. I know this space. I know this place. But if we are going to engage the unknown, we must leave the known. And we can't avoid the go. Now, a few people go physically. There are a few people who literally leave their town, leave their place, and they go around the world somewhere to minister the gospel to someone. Or maybe they leave and they go plant a church somewhere. Christy and I have had the privilege of planting churches in different parts of the country, and we've done ministry in different parts of the world. And so physically going from one place to another, that's part of going. But few people are called to that. Much fewer people are called to that aspect of going than to the other aspects of going, because many more of us are called to the mental or emotional, the soulish going, where the things that we know and the things that we have experienced and the things that we have done, they become the thing that we go from and step into something new entirely. Sometimes it's a call to go into a new understanding. Our understanding begins to expand. We recognize something that we did not recognize before. The information there is unknown, and so it's a stressful, and we're trying to suss it all out and figure it all out. And so we go from the thing that we know into the thing that we don't know in information. Sometimes it's an experience. Sometimes experientially we step from the known into the unknown, and we're like, what do I do here? That's why first dates are so stressful to some people. It's also why job interviews are so stressful to some people. Because you're walking into an unknown situation and you're trying to understand it as quickly as possible. You have to go. Sometimes it's a relational expanding, where we're reaching people that we don't know. We're trying to share something with them in a manner that will benefit them and be a blessing somehow, but we don't know them, and so it's kind of iffy. We're a little uncertain about how that's all going to go, so there can be a lot of stress in it. One of the things that people get stressed out about the most in Christianity is the idea of being a witness for Christ. When I was growing up, this was my introduction to ministry. My dad and mom were planting churches in different parts of the country, and we would do this thing called door knocking. It's what the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses still do. That's what we did. Wow. We would just go to people's homes and knock on the door, and we'd say, is there anything we can pray for you about? And we just want to, is there something we can bless you with? And if there's an opportunity to share the gospel, we would, and so on. And I can remember my dad is very bold and very, he's going after it. He's going to do whatever he wants, whatever needs doing. But I can remember walking around in New Bedford, Massachusetts. We walked down that street and we got up to that particular house, and he looked at me and he said, this is yours, Micah. Huh? I didn't even know if I knew Jesus in that moment. I was just like, gee, who? I'll knock on the door and, hi, I'm Micah, and I'm from the church over here, and I'm just wondering if they could even click. They closed the door. That's why I'm super polite to everybody that knocks on our door now. Would you like any water? I don't want to hear your message, but I'll give you some water if you'd like it, or whatever we can do. I want to be polite to them because I've been there. I'm not suggesting we start that in this church. I'm just saying I've been there. So it's an unknown, and it can be scary. Sometimes we're called to expand our expression of Christ. doing what we've not done before. I'm really proud of a young lady in our Next Generation Life group. And this past meeting, she was sharing how she was a little nervous because she just signed up to be a greeter at the door here, and she's never done anything like that before. And it's a brand new experience for her, and I'm proud of her. I'm excited for her that she's stepping into something new. Some go physically. Most of us go mentally and emotionally, but all go spiritually. That's what salvation is. We have to go from a place of being unsaved to being saved, the place where Jesus is not our Savior, to a place where we accept Him as our Savior. It's a spiritual transition that must take place in the life of everyone who's going to become a believer. So going is unavoidable. In the life of an individual or a church that's wanting to do the will of God, we must go. There'll always be a leaving of what you know and a stepping into what you don't know. And that brings us to point number two, or thought number two, and that is this. The purpose of going is always connected to the mission of God's house. It's always connected to the mission of God's house. Discipleship is always the goal of going. When you go, there needs to be an increase of discipleship. It might be a personal increase of discipleship, where we become personally better disciples of Jesus Christ because we are going. And there will also be a discipleship of others. New disciples brought into the relationship with Christ in a whole new way because we have gone. When we go, there needs to be discipleship involved. And that really includes every part of my life. Sometimes it includes the reading that I do, or the movies that I will watch, or the television shows that I will enjoy. All of it. If it's making me a better disciple, if it's building discipleship, then I want to engage in it. And if it's not, I want to temper its impact on my life. Discipleship is always the goal of going. So growing and going cannot be separated from each other. When we go, there must be an elevation involved, a growing involved, because discipleship is always the goal. A vision for anything short of the mission is driven by pride versus calling. So if discipleship is always the goal, then if discipleship is not the ultimate end result of what it is I'm engaged in, then we're not talking calling any longer. Now we're talking personal pride. That's a heavy statement, and it's also a reality. Because while some people struggle with the idea of going physically from one place to another, others face the challenge of going without losing the connection with the house, without losing their heart for the house. Somebody came into the church last week or a couple weeks ago now, and I happened to be walking by, and they looked over and they realized that somebody was sitting in their seat. And so they said, kind of casually, they said, "Well, I guess we're going to have to sit and find another seat, because we've been sitting in those seats for years. And now we're going to have to change seats." Now, they were joking, and we laughed, but there's a little bit of truth there. The little bit of truth is, I have been sitting in those seats for years. In fact, if you really look closely, it has my personal indentations in those seats. And so, to go to another seat is a little less comfortable for me, because that's where I've been for a long time. I'm comfortable in that. And so, but they went because they have a heart for the house. They didn't separate from the house entirely. You see, the connection with the house can't be severed, and the one who is going remain healthy. Christy and I have been blessed that we planted a church in Kona, Hawaii, and we were there for 9 years, and then we were in Houston, and now we're here. And it's interesting, because just this week I had the privilege of interacting with people in both Kona and in Houston. And in Kona, I had an interaction a little bit with a gentleman by the name of Trenton Johnson, who is a young man that we met as when he was still a teenager. And he's a faithful guy, and he's a blessing, and he's an incredible. I'm proud to know him. I'm proud to be in relationship with him. And what's really interesting is that we met him as a teenager, and today he's the executive pastor of that church, and we've been able to walk with him through this journey, and now he's a father and a husband, and all kinds of amazing things have happened in his life, and I'm so proud of what God has done, and we still have a good relationship, even though I'm not there. Physically, we left there, but we still maintained a heart for that house, and so that determined how we left. When we left. And then in Houston this week, I had the privilege to text back and forth with Pastor Brett and Pastor Scott Jones, the senior pastors there. And you know, they didn't really want us to leave Houston. It wasn't a bad relationship. Everything was going really well. But we still have a very good relationship. Why? Because even though we were transitioning, we still had a heart for the house and how we acted and our manner and how we interacted with the world there. Maintained a heart for the house, and so the relationship remained strong. Matthew 28:20 says this, "Go and make disciples. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." Well, if the house didn't matter, where were these commands learned? They were learned in the house. Where would these commands be taught? They would be taught in the house. Where would the strength and the empowerment to be able to fulfill these commands come from? It would come from the relationships within the house. So the house cannot be separated from the going. The one going shouldn't separate themselves from the house if they are going to remain strong. Evangelism without discipleship creates spiritual orphans. They're born, but they're disconnected. Evangelism, including discipleship, expands God's church, and it fulfills the mission of Christ. But sometimes we are distracted from the mission by the distorting of our desire to do the will of God. Now think about that for a minute. The desire is right to do the will of God, but our focus can become distorted. When the focus becomes distorted, you hear it in language, because instead of it being our mission, it becomes my ministry. My ministry is doing this, and my ministry is in this area, and my ministry is that. We have callings. We have callings of God, and I believe in the callings of God, and God uses us in ministry, but it's always for the mission. It's about the mission. A mission, or the calling, or the ministry without the house loses its context. It loses its focus. The ministry given is for the completion of the mission that belongs to the house. The house gives a context for, a reason for, guidelines for the ministry. It focuses it all upon this thing called mission, the going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. You see, Jesus didn't call you or I to be Lone Rangers or James Bond. None of us are the superstar in the church. There is one superstar in the church, and his name is Jesus. He leads it all. He empowers it all. It's his mission, it's his focus, and we are his body. He paid the price for us. So he called you and I to do ministry within the context of the church. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. He said, "Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." So there are things that the Lord wants us to do. "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's doing so good right up until this point. I mean, he's writing stuff and we're going, yes, yes, yes. But then he says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And further, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now see, I get it. I get submitting myself to Jesus because, I mean, He is God. He's the Son of God. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He's my King. He can do miracles. He can walk on water. And I've never one time seen any of you walk on water. Not once. You're not my Savior, you're not my King, you're my brothers and sisters in Christ, but so I get submitting myself to God, but this whole submitting to one another thing, that's a whole different ball game right there, but yet all the stuff that came before it and all the beautiful stuff that will come after it, it's right there in the Scripture, submitting yourself one to another. So that means that if I'm going to reverence Christ, I have to submit myself to you, and 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 we can go down the road, every row, and we don't always care for that part of being the church. Because see, if it's my ministry, then it's easy to get the attitude of, well, my ministry and I are going to go off and do what I'm going to do. And it's just going to be Jesus and me, and Jesus and me, and I'm just going to follow Jesus and me, and you go do whatever you're going to do, and I'm going to go do what I'm going to do, because Jesus and me and my ministry, we're going to go over here and do what we do, because, and if you don't like what we do, well, that's just too bad, because bless God, we're going to do what we do, because it's Jesus and me and my ministry, and Jesus says, if you have reverence for Christ, you will submit yourself one to another. In fact, what he's saying is, unless I submit myself to my brother and my sister, and I submit myself to you, then I don't have reverence for Christ. But it's all about Jesus. Not exactly. It's about the mission of the church, following the call of Jesus. And part of it is, he says, submit yourself to one another. I feel kind of by myself right now. But he said reverence for Christ equals submission to one another. It's what he said. The same word that tells me I can have salvation through faith in Christ Jesus tells me I need to submit my life to one another as I'm also submitting my life to Him. In fact, my submission to Him drives my submission to one another. But some people here go, and like the prodigal son in Scripture, the house focus becomes them focused. Their revelation begins with joy, but it ends with judgment. Sometimes it can go like this, that somebody has a revelation of worship, and so they begin to express themselves in worship, and it's wonderful to express themselves in worship in that way, but they find themselves very quickly going from, isn't this wonderful, to why aren't you doing the same thing I'm doing? So if they're not going to do it like me, I'm out of here. Or maybe it's a revelation of new information, and so God's blessed you with a revelation of His Word, or maybe you saw something new in Scripture, and it's awesome, it's really cool, and it's mind-blowing, and it's life-changing, and it's all the things that revelation from the Word can be. And so you're like, oh, this is great, and I just want to tell everybody. And maybe you find out that somebody doesn't see it exactly the same way that you do, and so what you say is, I'll tell you what, if you don't see it like me, I'm out of here. I'm cutting myself off from all you less than me people. And I'm going to be the big me with my understandings and ministries and whatever it may be. Maybe it's a revelation of the Holy Spirit. Maybe God uses you in a particular gift and an understanding of the Holy Spirit in a particular way. And so you're like, man, this is revolutionizing my walk and revolutionizing my life. And it's awesome. And I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you. I walk with you. I stand with you. It's awesome. But the minute that becomes a judgment against everyone who isn't doing it exactly like you're doing it or isn't expressing it the same way you're expressing it, you go out of the revelation of God and the joy of the Holy Spirit, and you step into condemning other people, that is no longer our mission. It's now become my ministry, and you've lost focus of what God's called you to do and the entire reason why He's blessed you with these gifts in the first place. And if I allow that pride, yes, I said the P word, I let it get into my heart and my mind, then I will start cutting myself off. The issue with the prodigal son was not that he asked for his inheritance. He did it poorly. He should have done it differently, and it all could have been better. But it wasn't, his big problem was not that he asked for the inheritance. It's that he cut himself off from the family when he could have been a blessing to the family. He went off and did his own thing. The thing that was his source, the thing that birthed him, the thing that birthed everything that he had, he cut himself off from it. It could have helped him develop it. It could have helped him build it. And later on, whenever he had squandered it all, he came back to the house and the Father, still out of grace and mercy, received him because he loved him. But he was starting back at square one. We can't make disciples of Christ without being a disciple ourselves. And a disciple, we must understand that a disciple is one who lives a disciplined life in submission to the house of God. So if you don't like what you're producing around you, check yourself, because you can only duplicate what you are. Thought number three is this: you will never go alone. You'll never go alone. Relationship is guaranteed. We have to go, but you'll never go alone. Matthew 28:20 says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There is coming a day when Jesus Christ will return. I believe that He will return, and I believe that He will take us home. And I praise God. I'm looking forward to that day. But between now and then, He tells me I do not have to walk alone. Pastor JP said it earlier. He said, we have a vision that no one walks alone. Well, Jesus says we don't have to walk without Him, and we don't have to walk without each other. We'll never walk alone. You don't have to be afraid to go, because Jesus is in you. He's with you. And when you look around yourself, when you look around, Jesus is all around you, and He looks an awful lot like the church, because it's His body. We're His people. The word age there in the, I'll be with you to the end of the age, that word is the word aeon, and it means a span of time. So until the span of time where we are separated from Almighty God by this thing called life comes to an end, He said, we will never have to be alone. We will always be accompanied by Him. Until then, we're part of His church. It's a strong church that hell cannot defeat. It's a church that's empowered by the Holy Spirit to do things that are greater than any of us can do on our own. It's a church that is perfect, filled with imperfect people. I'm here. That's how I know it's imperfect. It's a church that's been entrusted and empowered to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And can I tell you, McCord Road Christian Church, I am grateful to be part of this church. I'm grateful to be part of the universal church when I got saved. I joined the believers that have ever lived, that are living today, and that will ever live. But when we came to Sylvania and walked in those doors, and we decided to be a member of this church, we decided to join our life with this church, we became part of a great body. You're a good church. We're a good church. This is a strong church. This is a church that God is blessing. And until either the Lord takes us home, I want to live a life that will reflect well upon His church. I want to bring everything that I have to bear to strengthen His church. I want to be part of His church in the leading aspects that God blesses me to do, as well as the mutual submission aspects of what God has called me to do. This is a great church. I don't know what God's calling you into right now. And maybe He's calling you and say, listen, you've been a spiritual orphan too long. It's time for you to connect yourself with My house. If that's your next step, February the 11th, we have a membership class, and we'd love to connect with you in that. Love to connect with you in that. If you're already a member of this congregation, then thank you. Thank you. We thank our guests for being here, and we mean that sincerely. But I thank you that are part of this church for a long time for being here too. It'd be kind of sad if it was all guests. You've built something beautiful that we get to be part of as God has blessed His church. We are His church. We are the house of God. And this series, we've talked about the fact that the strong local church is the hope of the world. We've talked about aligning our heart with His house. And we've talked about gaining in respect for His house. And today, I pray that we've been able to communicate it in such a way that we see the vision for His house. McCord Road Christian Church, we are called to love God, love each other, and get the message out. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you bow your heads with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, You know what You're calling us to. You know the spirit that would rise up within each of us that would try to claim ownership of the thing You have birthed. This isn't my church. This isn't my ministry. This isn't my house. This is Your house. We are Your vessels. Today, mighty God, I'm asking You to give us wisdom. Convict our hearts of the things that in the areas maybe we've gone astray and encourage our hearts and those that are feeling weak in any area, that You empower them to fulfill the callings that You've placed in their lives. You've made us Your church. You've made us strong within Your church. I look across this congregation right now, Lord, and I see men and women who have battled some major issues. But because they were linked in with Your church, a church that loves each other, they have weathered the storm and they are walking strong in You. I thank You for that. I pray that You would help us to become a church that reaches beyond ourselves. You're already doing so much. But the call never ceases. The need never ends. I'm asking You to lead us and direct us. Holy Spirit, do in us what needs to be done to allow us to fulfill Your calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.